Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Well, we've been talking about the King for the last few weeks, and of course, I'm talking about the King of Kings, the King of the universe, King Jesus, the one that loved us so much that he came out of the comfort of heaven to earth to die on a cross for our sins. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he rose in all power on the third day. So we're talking about King Jesus. Anybody that loves King Jesus, I want you to say, all hail King Jesus. Will you say that with me? See, y'all just beat me to it. I was going to say, wait on the... Y'all were already ready. All hail King Jesus. That's been our series. Because a king is not an add-on to whatever you're doing. The king is the center. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Jesus at the center. Look at somebody and say, Jesus at the center. That's what a true king is. He is at the center. And in our culture, this can sometimes be a foreign concept. Because with our various different backgrounds and cultures and desires, sometimes it's hard to make Jesus the center. So I want to talk to you about that today. We live in a democracy, or more specific, a constitutional republic, if you want to get exact. So it's different than what when we look at the kingdom of God and we look at King Jesus. Because in our world, in our nation, we have a system of making laws. We have three branches of government. We have a process for creating and passing these laws. But it's very different in the kingdom, or in any kingdom for that sake, because the king makes the laws in the kingdom. If there's a queen, which England had a queen for a while, the king or queen makes the laws. They make the rules. And the king doesn't have to check with anybody else, and they don't have to get counsel if they don't want to. They can make the laws, they can make the rules. Now, of course, I'm talking about an absolute monarchy, not some of the constitutional monarchies and other different various forms of monarchies that you see today, but an absolute monarchy, which is what the kingdom of God is essentially. The king is able to make the laws, and what he says is final. Now, in our society, this can be a difficult thing to wrap our head around because everything around us is different than that. It's hard to imagine one person making all the rules, making all the laws that everybody else needs to follow. But that's exactly what a king does. If we're going to say all hail King Jesus, we have to understand what that means. What comes with that statement? What is the reality of when we say all hail King Jesus? That means whatever the king says goes. We live in a world where there's courts and there's various positions and there's public opinion, but that's not how the kingdom of God works. What King Jesus says is the final word. And I, for one, am excited about that because when he says, I am healed, that's the final word. When he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that's the final word. He is the lawgiver. He doesn't have to check with Congress. He can't be overruled by the Supreme Court. He's the final court of appeals. That's how a kingdom works. We live in a temporal world, and it's a temporal existence, but the foundation that holds all of this temporal world together is a kingdom. And in this kingdom, the ruler is King Jesus. And his word is the final rule on everything. His word is the final word on everything. Jesus told us this in Matthew 24:35, and this kind of opens up our mind to see what we're talking about. It says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Can you imagine that for a second? That heaven and earth will disappear. At some point, it's going to happen. But God's words will never disappear. Now note that when he says heaven here, he's not talking about the dimension of heaven. He's talking about the universe. He's talking about the heavens. The heavens, the universe will pass away. The earth will pass away, but not the eternal realm of heaven. Everything that you see or can jump into a spaceship and visit, one day is going to go away. But what God says remains. There is a kingdom that will remain. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached that. That was a reoccurring message, a central part of his message, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean to us? The kingdom of God is both is close in both proximity and timing. It's close. It's closer than you think. And the timing, it's coming upon us sooner than we think. Soon what you see will pass away, and what you don't see will be the only reality that you can hang on to. Can you imagine that? The stuff that we oftentimes think about religion, or we think about philosophically in this world, that's going to be the reality that we're living in. So soon everything that we see will pass away, and all that will remain is what we believe in. When this earth passes away, the only thing that remains is the kingdom of God. And funny enough, some scientists have already seen this mathematically, shown that the earth will eventually grow cold because the sun will eventually grow old. God said this long before scientists figured this out. He said it to the prophet Isaiah. He said in Isaiah 51:6, "Look up to the skies above and gaze down on the earth below, for the skies will disappear like smoke and the earth will wear out like a piece of clothing." This is what I love about the Word of God. Sooner or later, science catches up with it. God said this all the way back thousands of years ago. Now scientists are figuring it out. So if scientists ever say something that doesn't match out with the Bible, just wait on it. It'll catch up. It'll catch up. Because you know what science means. Science is knowledge. And God has all science in him because he created science. So it says, look up at the sky above, gaze down at the earth below, for the skies will disappear like smoke and the earth will wear out like a piece of clothing. The universe is continuing to expand and getting older, and the planets are getting farther away from the stars. Listen, as the universe ages, we will see the Word of God come true, that it will no longer be able to sustain life. But God's word and God's eternal kingdom can always sustain life. The book of Revelation 11:15, which we understand the book of Revelation is about what? Even more than end times, it's actually about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the King. And it says, and he will reign forever and ever. After there's been all these rulers on the earth and all these rulers on the nations and kings of earth pass away, guess what? He will reign forever and ever. Who? King Jesus. Our physical world is like a tablecloth just sitting on a table. That table is God's kingdom. Guess what? One day, tablecloth's going to be removed and everybody's going to see what was holding this thing up all along. The kingdom of God. Everything we see is held up by everything we do not see. That's why as Christians we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. Right? Because we see a form of what truly is, but we don't see the true reality with our natural eyes. Energy, life, the laws of God are all invisible to us now, but are critical to sustaining everything we see. The table is stronger than the tablecloth. That which is invisible is eternal, and that which is seen is temporal. You may not be able to see the table, but believe me, it exists. There is something holding all this up. There is an energy, there is a life, there is a power, there is a knowledge, there is a wisdom, there's a glory that all that we see rests on top of. An eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. Now, in a kingdom, the king is the focal point. That makes sense, right? When the king enters the room, all eyes are on him. Everybody stands at attention when the king walks in the room. Why? Because he is the focus of everyone within the kingdom. When the kingdom's looking for direction, they don't know what exactly to do. They look to the king for direction. When people are deciding what to build or how to pursue business endeavors within a kingdom, they want to know what the king desires. The king is the focal point for everything in the kingdom. And the king decides even which parcels of land go to whom. How many know that? In a feudal system, they would decide who were going to be the lords, who were going to have different pieces of property. Well, this is what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 2. He said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you, and I am going there to prepare a place for you." That is the king saying, "I got a place for you. I'm going to prepare it. When you arrive, I'm going to have a piece of land. I'm going to have a space. I'm going to have a place. I'm going to have a house. I'm going to have a mansion for you." King Jesus is already letting us know that the king is the focus, the focal point for all of that. In a kingdom, big decisions aren't made without consulting the king and without knowing what he desires. When you have a king, when you have the king in your life, he becomes the focal point. And this is what we have to understand, right? The difference between him being just Savior, he saved me, and him being Savior and Lord, him being Savior and King. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want just to be saved when I'm in a desperate circumstance. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with King Jesus and walk in these good plans that he has for me. I don't want to live a life where I just survive. That's for people that only see Jesus as Savior. Guess what? They're just surviving. They start drowning. God save me. He comes and he saves them. And guess what? They don't want to live underneath the rulership of the king, so they go out and they get drowning again. Jesus, save me. And guess what? Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. But there's a higher level than just survival. How many know that God has more than just survival for you as a Christian? That's why he has to be Savior and Lord, Savior and King of our lives. And that's what he wants. When you have a king in your life, he becomes the focal point. You're no longer the focal point when Jesus is king in your life. So let me just say this. We live in a culture that's selfish. Can I get an amen? All right. And oftentimes that culture gets on us and we can be selfish. And a person that is thinking of themselves first, they get up and say, "What do I want to do today? Who do I want to hang out? What are my goals? What career do I want to pursue?" That is not someone, though, that is kingdom-minded. Somebody that's kingdom-minded, that the focus of their life is the king, they wake up and say, "God, what do you want me to do? King Jesus, what career field do you want me to pursue? Who do you want me to interact with? What would please you? How do you want me to pray? How do you want me to see people?" So the focus gets off of me and the focus gets on him. That's what it means to truly be a Christian, to truly follow him. Jesus said to his disciples, "Look, if you love anything else or anybody else more than me, you're not worthy of what I'm trying to give you." So Jesus said, "I have to be the focus. King Jesus has to be the focus." And this is just a new iteration of the original thought that God gave Moses when he said, "I'm the Lord your God. I have to be number one. Can't have anybody beside me. Can't have anybody near me on this level. It's got to be me first." He has to be king. And so this is important for us because sometimes we put other things on the throne of our heart. It could be our career. It could be a person. It could be us. But saying Jesus is my king is saying I'm taking whatever off the throne and I'm inviting Jesus to sit on the throne of my life. Saying, "Jesus, I want you to be the focal point of my life. I want you to be the center." the person with King Jesus as the focus asks different questions than the person that's immersed in this culture, that's immersed in a selfish culture, asks. Different question, different focal point. And that focus changes when Jesus is really the center, when he really is the king. Everything revolves around him. Look at somebody say, everything revolves around him. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city, it's talking about this is how the kingdom of heaven works. This is how it works. It says, and the city, and this city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The city of heaven literally revolves around the luminance of Jesus Christ. He is its light. He's not just, see, we have to realize he's not just the light of the world. He's the light of the universe. He's the light of the kingdom. Everything revolves around him. And anytime we don't really understand him as the center, it's because we don't really understand the trueness of reality. Everything revolves. I can fight it, but everything still revolves around him. Now, my life might not be revolving around him, but that's some areas I need to work on. But everything revolves around him. Heaven revolves around him. The earth revolves around him. For a citizen of his kingdom, all decisions revolve around his will, his purpose. All decisions revolve around his plans. It's not our plans, guys. Even the best plans that we come up with, they can fail. They fall short of the goodness that God has in store for us. So the true test of our Christian walk is, are we surrendered to King Jesus, to what plans he has for us? It's not an easy thing. For most of us, this is a journey, right? I didn't roll out of bed and say, well, I've got it. I'm going to be surrendered. It's a process of surrendering to him as my king. So I'm going on a journey. He's revealing to me more and more what surrender looks like. I can say I understand surrender. You ask a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, do you understand surrender? They say, yes. Do they understand surrender? No. They maybe understand this much of what surrender is. When we come to Christ, we are baby Christians. Most times we understand this much about what it means to have a king. This much what it means to truly surrender. So we're going on a journey, right? Because it's not easy. Surrendering to Jesus as your king is a journey. It's a process. But it's the best and truest reality that you can live by. Why? Because you're not living by the facade of what you can just see. But you're living by the reality that will never pass away. You are anchoring yourself to the rock. Not shifting sand. You're anchoring yourself to something that is eternal. It is the bedrock. His words will never disappear. Heaven and earth, the stuff you see, it will go away one day. I can't tell you exactly. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I don't think there's any scientist that can tell you exactly when the earth is going to wear out. But we know it's going to happen. But his word and his kingdom will remain. That's what I want to fix my eyes on. I understand there's a king. He's making the rules. He's made the laws, not just the laws of the universe and the laws of nature, but he has commands that he expects us to follow. And it's not because he's this accountant up in heaven making all these rules because he's a rule keeper. But he's made all these commands and rules because he wants us to walk into good plans. His good plans, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Stuff we can't even perceive, stuff that we can't even calculate or quantify, that's how good it is. So guess what? We just got to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. If you honor Him as the King, He's going to work it out. I was with the young adults, and they said, let Him cook. Sometimes you don't know what's happening. You just got to let Him cook. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. That's what He told Jeremiah. Because we can make plans, but it's really His plans are the only plans that really fully work out in the end. Right? That's what Proverbs 19:21 says. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Look, guys, we're doing all kind of stuff. A lot of times we're running around worried about stuff we shouldn't be worried about, making plans we shouldn't even be making plans for, coming up with ideas and we don't even check with God. Look, you can make lots of plans. It's the Lord's will that prevails. So why not get on board with His plans? Why not surrender to His will? Because it's going to cause you to prosper. John said, I hope that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. That's what God wants for us. Proverbs 14:12. See, sometimes we don't realize this, but this is the truth. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Guys, if we go with our plans, the plans that are separate from God's plans, the plans that are different, that diverge from God's plans, guess what? That end is destruction. That end is death. That end is heartache. That end is pain. So I don't want to go with what way seems right to me. I want to trust in the Lord and let Him make my path straight. That's surrender. Not just to anybody. I'm not surrendering to anybody. That's silly. But I will surrender to the King. I will surrender to a good, good Father. I will surrender to the true King. And He will cause me to prosper. He will give me hope in a future. And that's the reality of living in the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to live with Him forever in heaven. But to do that, we have to accept Him as King. Not just Savior, but King. Heaven is a place, heaven is the place that remains after everything else passes away. It is an eternal city. It is a kingdom, and Jesus is its King. When we embrace Him as King and make Him the focus of our life, we will live with Him forever. We will say, all hail King Jesus. And it's not just a statement. It's not just something that gives me a good feeling inside, but it's something that is a declaration of who He is to me. All hail, all honor, all respect, all surrender be to Him. King Jesus, will you bow your heads and let me pray with you today? God, I thank You for what You're doing in our lives. God, thank You, Father, for the promise that You made us. Thank You for the price that You paid for us. Thank You for the honor that is due to You, not just as Creator, but as King. You didn't just create a beautiful world to live in, and when we messed it up, You stepped back and You abandoned us. But God, You never left us. You always provided a pathway back to You, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. God, let us embrace You not just as Savior, but as King. Let us not just be saved, but let us follow Your example. Follow Your commands. Because we want to live in Your kingdom forever. Not just when we go and we pass on. We want to live in Your kingdom now. We want to live in proximity to Your presence. We want to live with the benefits of being a citizen of heaven. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here and for the journey of faith that you have them on. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today, but I want to. I want to reconnect with him, or I want to connect for the first time. Either one of those. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've kind of drifted, but I need to connect with him. If that's you today and you feel God tugging on your heart, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 There's something so powerful about when we say yes to Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't figure it out on our own. We can't be good enough on our own. But with Jesus, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for your immeasurable love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm sorry for the times I sinned, for the bad mistakes, for the wrong judgments. Forgive me today. Apply your perfect work on the cross to my life and give me a clean slate. Jesus, I need you. Not just to save me, but to lead me, to be my king, to help me live a life that pleases you and pleases the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.